Good day, folks. Today we have James Liu, J.B. Duncan, and Vicky Abe from the Open Solaris Install Lounge at Java One Community One. So why don't you guys just take a couple of minutes and introduce yourselves, talk a little bit about who you are, what you do, those types of things.
Well, James Liu here, and I work at Sun, and got dragged into working in the Install Lounge. I've traditionally been working on Java OS, and I've got some experience with Java devices. We also have, I've got a lot of J2E experience, been sort of a fixture at Java One for years, mostly as a speaker, but I've sort of rebelled because they don't give us bags anymore. I love being here at this show.
JD?
Yeah, and I'm JD Duncan. I'm a senior systems engineer up here in the Northwest and out of the Bay Area and with Toshiba. And I have been supporting Sun Microsystem as a customer now for over 10 years. And here supporting the Community One and the Java One shows with some Toshiba laptops with some new pre-installs with Solaris.
Cool.
Hi, I'm Vicky Abe. I'm a member of the IHV engineering group. I work at Sun Microsystems. I'm really proud to be a part of the project team that's working on the Open Solaris Toshiba notebooks. We're showing the notebooks here. We've got an open source game called Tremulous that was recommended by Chris Melissinos. It features the community. It's team-based play. It's fully open source. It's no licenses required. It's running on Open Solaris. We're also featuring an open source sound system. It's new in Open Solaris, build 1.15. And the NVIDIA driver that we just got, we got a bunch of pieces just before the show to put together this C1 demo image. But these are all going to be in the repository. They'll all be available to people that are getting these computers. And it's amazing. We're getting 90 frames per second, and we're showing this game here in the lounge.
Cool. Okay, so the Open Solaris Install Lounge, Java One, Community One, Rock Band game, sofas, some of the best real Ethernet at the show. I got to tell you, and you guys already know, the Wi-Fi this year has just been a little flaky. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I sure have. So, but really, Open Solaris at Java One, how come?
Well, we have the new release that we just announced on Monday. We've been working feverishly behind the scenes in the engineering ranks to get all the pieces together for the show. People were testing over nights and weekends, and we got the go on Thursday, I think, just before the show. So, and all the bits got pushed out on Monday, so they went live on Monday morning. So we heard that the load balancers are working overtime to support all the downloads that people are trying to do.
So everything was set for opening Community One.
Correct. You bet. And we just wanted to be able to show the best portable Java development environment that you could get, especially running on Open Solaris.
Oh, Java.
Yeah,
I think JD and Vicky don't actually underscore enough how much work we're doing inside Sun with Open Solaris to support desktop development or laptop development. I think the Open Solaris the Install Lounge is a great resource. And it sort of is an indication of the commitment that Open Solaris team has internally, as well as with its partners, to really drive development on Open Solaris for both Java as well as C apps or whatnot, but using a real industrial and enterprise-ready operating environment.
Definitely. Toshiba wanted to bring to the table, especially show our support of this. Sun and Toshiba have been partners for a long time. Sun has been a big customer of ours. We've had mutual respect and partnership. But about 3 years ago, Vicky and the crew came to us and said, we'd like to have a real supported laptop platform for Open Solaris. And Toshiba, of course, has always supported the open type platforms, be it Linux, whatever, but we've never felt comfortable installing something from the factory. Until Open Solaris, with our partnership with Sun, we were able to do a true engineering partnership, which means we opened up our kimono, so to speak, and we let the Sun engineers talk to Toshiba engineers, which is very unique for Toshiba. We've never done this before.
Wow.
Sun is the only company we would have trusted with this, and so we think it makes the Tekra and the Protégés the best laptops to run Open Solaris on. You're going to get a real laptop experience with it. Things that you want in a laptop, like power management and suspend resume and hotkeys for your video and sound and everything working just as you would want in a portable environment.
SD
card support, gaming support, all these things we can do. Now, of course, Open Solaris will run on our competitors' laptop computers, and it'll run well, but not to the degree you're going to see on Toshiba laptops.
That's pretty exciting. That's pretty exciting. So you kind of optimized Solaris and your machines to run Open Solaris.
Correct.
Yes.
That's very nice.
We had a whole platform team that was working on optimizing. Andy, our director, wanted something to select a platform to show where Open Solaris runs best. So we wanted, let's say, Open Solaris runs best on Toshiba, and just supporting as much of the hardware in that platform as possible.
So you got a couple of machines here, and they look pretty cool. This M10, that looks like a pretty powerful machine. But this R600, can you use sexy to describe a machine? Why don't you talk about those a little bit?
You bet. The Tekra M10. Tekra has always been our business class laptop for 20-something years now. It's a 14-inch wide laptop, 5 pounds, has NVIDIA graphics, 256 megs of video memory. It'll do up to 8 gigs of system memory. We're running 7,200 RPM hard drives in it, a great development platform. So if you're looking for something that's a true desktop replacement, this machine will do it for you, and it'll still fit in your backpack. We love it. It's a great machine. But the R600, it's very unique in the industry. It's 2.4 pounds. It's less than 2/3 of an inch thick with the lid closed. It has a dual-layer DVD burner built in, trans-reflective screen, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, you name it, 3 USB ports, eSATA. It is the classic, best mobile laptop warrior machine out there.
Okay, so I think I'm getting this. You got a machine for developers, and you got a machine for the marketing class.
Well, yes, but even this machine, you can be a developer on it. It is a Core 2 Duo CPU. You can do up to 5 gigs of memory. But again, at 2.4 pounds, it's amazingly thin and light. Magnesium shell, spill-proof keyboard, you name it, it's a great machine.
You didn't say sexy.
And the webcam works great, too.
And the webcam works on both machines.
We're running the game. We were running Tremulous. On the M10, we were getting 90 frames per second. And on the R600, we were getting 50 frames per second.
Okay.
Very playable. Yeah. Very playable. Still, you can die and you can get killed. And blood splatters everywhere on the screen. So, at least on the inside of the screen.
Just what we all need. Just a little virtual blood goes a long way. So we've talked about developers using these machines, but Java on Open Solaris specifically, why Open Solaris? It works everywhere, doesn't it?
You're not going to say the L word?
I could say the L word. It works even on Linux, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, just to give you a little history about the development environment, I've been doing these shows for years, and I don't think you've been to these shows, come on. We used to lug around portable servers that we wanted, but like, the real cool stuff would be on these little portable, and even back then, JD, it was on Librettos, right? We managed to get like a Solaris install on Intel. Architecture, and we'd lug these little things, and we'd have the big trucks haul in, and the union guys would go pull out the 400-pound gorilla servers, right, with, the Spark stuff, but secretly in our back pocket, we always carry these Librettos around just for our little boot servers and little things, but they were small, very portable, but not very powerful, and I think what this, we were running Java app servers, web apps, and they got along just, if everything worked out well, life would be good. But, we really need something a little bit more powerful for the portable code slingers. And in our own surveys over history have shown that at least half the enterprise code that's written today is done on the road. It's mobile. And that includes Java applications. And so you need to have a really good platform, solid, enterprise-ready, the real deployment OS. You'd rather develop on the OS that you're going to deploy on. And why not Open Solaris? So that's sort of where my historical background tells me I should be developing on Open Solaris. And I really couldn't because of drivers in the past. But now, with all the advancements in driver support for x86, you're able to lug around something that's, 2.4 pounds? And basically, you do all your compiles on that.
But speaking of drivers, what about Open Solaris for the general consumer audience? Is Open Solaris really a good platform for the general consumer market? Are there enough device drivers, applications that that a regular user can be satisfied and happy with the experience they have?
You aren't going to ask about cool things like D-Trace and D-Trace on Java?
We can get there, but what
Virtual
about...
VirtualBox and XVM?
We can get there, but what about a casual
Or Crossbow?
User? We can get there, but what
we
about
could
a
stick,
casual user?
You know that M10, that
stuff,
Toshiba, we could stick a whole,
right over my head.
Whole Crossbow
Tell
network.
A casual user.
We have, device support is always a holy grail for us.
Right.
For our work is never done. So the goal for us that we always strive for is that when you open the box and you install Open Solaris, things just work.
Right.
And more that's happening. So, you know, when we started working on the M10, most of the devices just worked because we have support. As you know, the Southbridge chipsets contain most of the devices these days. So we focus on the chipsets, and then we inherit device support unless you want something weird where you stuck some weird device in there. But we go after the mainstream, go after everything in the chipsets, and then we radiate out from there as we see that there are other devices that we need to do. But these days, the bulk of the majority of the devices that you need, like networking, storage, and video, just work.
Excellent. That's a big deal.
Yes,
that's
it
a
is.
Big deal because when I open a laptop, I just want it to work. Just like you said, I just want it to work. So there's a lot of drivers, a lot of devices that historically have been kind of problematic. Graphics, networking, Wi-Fi, audio, even video cameras. All that stuff works.
Yes.
Yes, that's an easy answer, isn't it?
Yes.
There's new standards, right? AHCI means that storage drivers will just work if you write to that standard. NVIDIA, our NVIDIA driver... The engineer in our booth that specializes in the NVIDIA drivers was telling us that the NVIDIA driver that we get from them on Open Solaris is actually a little better than the one on Windows. So we've achieved more than parity in that area.
Wow.
So, yeah, and NVIDIA writes that driver. So it's a little bit, it's more compatible with, one driver works on all variants, 64-bit, 32-bit
yes.
of Solaris. And he said for Windows, you still need different versions for Win 7, XP, Vista, and 32 versus 64 bits, so you have all these different versions of the NVIDIA.
Simple is better. I'll go with that.
I want to reemphasize sort of the partnership that Sun has, and it's not just Toshiba is a big partner of ours. They give us feedback on a lot of their mainstream devices, so that we can focus on those. But also, we have big partnerships with NVIDIA. We have partnership with Intel on their chipsets as well. So one of those and AMD as well, and where, for example, one of the clear unions of those that relationship is in networking. For example, E1000G is standard on the enterprise Toshiba laptops like the Tekra, the Protege, and just in the last 3 years, if people were tracking E1000G some driver support for that device, that gigabit network device, it's grown from 40 or so devices to more than 80 of all the modern, including all the modern PCI Express devices, both for portable systems as well as for workstation and server class systems. And we're the first to market with 10 gigabit Niantic 82599 support shipping in Solaris Nevada build 114 and later before Windows and Linux. That's the level of partnership that we have with, say, Intel that allows vendors like Toshiba or anyone else to adopt that technology on Solaris sooner. And people are scratching their heads nowadays and going, really? The driver's out first on Solaris? Yes. And so that's the point I want to emphasize, that you know, partnerships with companies enables Open Solaris to come out first a lot of times with better driver support.
Well, James, I know that you in particular have been involved in developing some of the device drivers for Open Solaris. Why don't you, in lay terms that even I can understand, why don't you describe that to us a little bit?
Well, it's not that hard. We have a very stable API for developing. It's called the device driver interface and driver kernel interface, so DDI/DKI, and it's one of those hallmarks of Solaris that we try to maintain stability. So whereas you have to compile a lot on those other that other OS that with the L word, and the compiler actually locks you in so that you can't load another version kernel driver into this your present version kernel without recompiling it. Unless you do a fancy shim layer. So that results in a very fat, big support environment for a lot of vendors trying to support that OS. But on Solaris, we see vendors doing, what, a 300K development environment, generating a 40K driver, and that development environment doesn't change much over time. We have vendors, partners that are shipping network drivers that basically run stock from Solaris 10 update 1 all the way through update 7, and including Nevada, all the builds plus open Solaris. It's like you download one binary and it just works. And it's kind of like, wow, how does that happen? Well, it's the Solaris philosophy of a stable ABI API. And I think that's the big value proposition for developers.
Simple is good. I got to say that one again.
Our interfaces are stable and our drivers are dynamically loadable.
That doesn't explain how you... you develop, but if you want to do that, we have white papers and blogs all about that. And there's somebody sitting not too far away named Alta Elstad who actually is very active on the opensolaris.org website. She helps edit all the and put articles up there on driver development all the time. So you got to go read her stuff. Go do a search on Elstad on opensolaris.org.
Open Solaris Rockstar. Well, good. That's excellent. So, James, I know that that you are kind of a hardcore developer, and I could tell a little while ago you just wanted to talk a little bit about Crossbow, D-Trace, and some of these tools that really are specific and empowering to good developers. Again, in terms that I can understand, tell us about that a little bit.
Well, I guess the best example is. Every developer goes through code, deploy, run, debug, and then you repeat that cycle over again. And probably the best example would be to look at some of the tools to go do the debug introspection. I don't think any other OS has the kind of debuggers that we have. We have kernel debuggers that tell you everything the system's doing. We have analyzers that tell you what your app is doing. You can step through, step in and out, graphical tools, IDEs to do that. And at the same time, we have all sorts of other application frameworks like XVM or Xen that allow you, VirtualBox, allow you to replicate multiple environments. So you can actually run Solaris. You can have all these other OSs installed. You can develop primarily on Solaris. You can then test your code, especially Java code, on all these different other OSs, and actually get a debug environment that actually helps you deploy and test on all the apps, all the different OS platforms. So that's probably one of the most powerful things about Solaris, is that it can do all those things for you. It can let you test other OSs, and at the same time, it has the best tools if you really want to figure out what's wrong with your code. I mean, some of the D-Trace stuff is just incredible.
So one thing that D-Trace could do, I just wanted to mention, it wasn't that long ago that if you were tracing code and you were writing Java code, at some point it goes into the native interface to talk to the devices. So you would be able to trace your Java code, and then you'd have to bring up a separate debugger to look at the native stuff. With D-Trace, you can go all the way down. You can go down through the Java layers into the native layer with that one probe, and that is very cool. That's something that not everybody has.
No more trying to deal with the miracle.
Yeah, very powerful.
Well, another one was we had a customer that was having issues with storage, for example, and they couldn't figure out why the storage was performing really slow. And we had some suspicions on why it was, and ran D-Trace on Solaris and looked at the latency of I/O calls from the kernel. And we suddenly, with D-Trace, could see that the disks were constantly going through and resynchronizing and recalibrating. And we were wondering what's causing that. And we found out that it was audio vibrations, and we could prove it. We finally had D-Trace running live. And we had a guy shouting at the discs, and it's actually shown on YouTube.
Wow.
And the vibrations can cause the disc to go and try to recalibrate itself.
And he had a graph on the video, so you can
and
see the latency.
And all generated by D-Trace. And I think the other thing is, some of the other tools, I just really want to talk about Crossbow. Crossbow, for example, if you take the Tekra M10 from Toshiba, beef it up, max it out. You can stick a 1,000 node network, simulated subnet, inside that with Crossbow. You can actually create it. They actually, if you deployed it, and through that single interface, that network interface, it would look to another switch or router, like 1,000 other MAC addresses. And it would just simulate it, and actually you might get a call from your internal IT security guy saying, you guys just deployed another 1,000 nodes. What's going on here? Is somebody attacking us? That actually has happened internally, and we've done this, and it's all portable. So can you imagine the power that you carry with you to a trade show or to a developer who just wants to simulate that entire network, especially if you're doing Java apps. You want to simulate two app servers, two instances. You can zone them off. You can have them talking to each other. You virtualize them, use Crossbow. And that's a very powerful concept.
It is. Certainly tools that developers, serious developers, should want to use. We're getting close on time here. We're going to need to wrap up pretty soon. But I want to know who's using Java on Open Solaris right now? You folks that are sitting here, who's doing something?
Well, we have somebody at the Sunspot booth right now that's installing some demos, and he's going to be using one of our M10s in the Sunspot booth, running some demos on that experimental hardware. So that's kind of cool.
Terminals probably isn't. But yeah. You know, in terms of Java apps, I just walked across the community booth the other day, and I was bragging about my JPEG recover that I contributed a long time ago to the JavaNet community. Basically, it just takes an archive file of a broken flash memory that you might have taken pictures with. It'll basically extract all the lost JPEGs out of there, and that was written in Java. It's portable. But recently, I do manage a couple of these blog sites where message boards where we have some people sneaking in under multiple identities. We don't, the sites I run don't necessarily have security, so you don't have to log in and register, and so it's basically a freeform thing. So I want to write a little spider app, but we stuck in a little avatar thing that where you can register on gravatar.com. It's a WordPress site to register your own avatar, and it generates an MD5 hash. Well, just wrote a little Gravatar module in Java that just took like a few minutes and just hacked it together using Java classes purely. My school kids, elementary school PTA sites all running Java, just did a file language survey in Java. So you get Hebrew, you get Spanish, you get Chinese, Japanese, and of course we still support English, so in Java. It's all done in Java, so that's kind of cool.
Pretty cool. We need to wrap up now, but before we do, Vicki, why don't you give us a little rundown of the Open Solaris install lounge?
We've got a demo of video switching, some of the hotkey support, suspended Zoom. I've got my camera here, and I've got the SD card with the pictures we've been taking at the show. So these are all the new features and platform support that we've added for this project.
Okay, so there we go, folks. Open Solaris live from the Open Solaris install lounge at Java 1 2009. Stay tuned for the next Java 1 podcast.